broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for October 1st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and protect life, liberty, and property, ladies and gentlemen. I must mention, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled Friday, and our goal is to affect hearts and minds to the moral compass known as God's eternal laws. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. There are no political issues. That's just a divide tactic our enemies use. Every issue is a moral issue. We'll get to that as the broadcast continues to unfold right here on Liberty Roundtable Live. In the meantime, Brad Barton interview continues. Are you looking for someone to help you ignite world-class performance? BradSpeaks.com. Brad Barton is a runner. We're telling you his incredible long road to success track story. But it isn't about track. It's about fulfilling your calling, whoever you are. It isn't just Brad's story. It's your story. It isn't just a running success story, although it is all those things. It's really about, for two decades, Brad Barton has delivered stirring, instructive, transformative leadership presentations as he's a coach to cutting-edge companies and more, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do something that's never been done. That really is kind of the launch pad for Brad's life. He was plagued with injuries and trouble. They reinvented. They kept at it. He stayed true to his calling, and he was taught by his coach to remember. Remember the why. Remember the calling. Remember that if you're supposed to do something and that's your calling, there will be a way opened up to accomplish that. So Brad starts falling around college students and running with college students, and he, well, gets better and better, but then he goes to Boston. Wow. Sounds Founding Father-esque. Brad, let's start there, sir.
Yeah, so after all this prep, after all these months, we're going to make our first record attempt at the Reggie Lewis Center in Boston. It was the largest, really the most important indoor track meet in the United States, a Grand Prix event by New Balance. And they start this with a show, this show with a Masters Mile. And I won this race, this prestigious race. I'm the old guy in the field at 47, but with a terrible head virus, Sam, I ran as hard as I could that day. I ran 4:24. And was just super discouraged. I got one last shot at this. I came back and got healed up. And 2 weeks later, I'm on the campus at Cornell, Ithaca, New York. And I got one last shot at this indoor mile world record. And I will never forget how nervous I was. I was walking across Cornell campus mid-February. I could see my breath. I was so nervous. And as I remember, my name is Brad Barton. I walk up to this 100-year-old building, this rock building that this 200-meter indoor track is housed. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, no way. The place is called, Sam, the place is called Barton Hall.
Is this real? You're not kidding me?
I'm not. You can't make this stuff up.
This place is called Barton Hall. That is incredible.
Barton Hall.
And that, let me stop you there, though. This is another tender mercy given to you along the way. Yes, it's intimidating, but it's also a tender mercy, isn't it? It's remembering,
right,
and confirming in your heart, soul, and mind right now as you see this. You're going, whoa, there's something to this, right?
No doubt. I remember walking into this building, and I didn't just step onto the track. I jumped onto it, and I remember thinking, Coach and I own this track. I mean, we're going to do something historic today. I was so excited. Warm-up cycle. Finally, they're lining us up, and my excitement starts to drain as they keep lining people up and they keep putting people on this 200-meter flat, six-lane indoor track. They ended up putting me in lane six, Sam, three fellas deep. There were 18 little Ivy League punks that they put in this race. And then this guy that the track and field world is talking about, and it's really not about me. It's the track and field world was talking about this, but it was about Chick Hislop, this coach that they all so admire and respect, that they'd read about and they'd heard about, and they're talking about this project that he's doing with this old has-been All-American steeplechaser 20 years ago. That's the story, right? They put me in lane 6 and fired the gun, and I'm stuck in lane 3 for the first lap. Sam, you cannot break a world record in lane 3. And I'm desperate to get myself to the inside lane. You know, part of the race plan was to tuck in behind some of these kids and then let them pull me through. Just after the first lap, about 220 meters into the race, I looked to my left and there's a gap, and I'm like, yes, and I dove for it. It was my fault. I looked, but I didn't really look. There wasn't enough room. The kid behind me clipped my heel. I fell hard to the inside rail. It was a violent experience. My feet are in the air, and then my head, and my feet are in the air, and then my head. I've separated my shoulder on the inside aluminum rail, and now I'm back on my feet, and I'm back on the track, and I'm back to pace, and my mind is reeling. I'm thinking, no, not after all this suffering, after all this work. Here's my chance. It's come, and it's gone. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, Brad, you're okay. Coach has trained you not to operate under the circumstances, right? Says you own the circumstance. You operate above the circumstance, and so it was about keep your head in this race. Keep your head in this race. So that was my rally.
Now let me stop you there and say this. Last hour we talked in detail about this, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We're going to put both hours up. We're going to distribute this far and wide to tell the greater story here. But I want to mention this. They spent with this unique all-star coach, they spent literally, what was it, weeks before you hit the track?
Oh, now we're on year number 2 that we're working at.
Before you hit the track year, when you got with this coach, though, you spent quite a bit of time before you even got on the track, right?
Before we went down in flames to a broken foot. Now we're talking about
this is where the
months.
Mind and the heart and the training really pays off, right?
Yeah. That is absolutely right. The thing that broke my that despair is it's kind of silly, but I remember thinking how clever I was when it popped into my mind. Brad, remember, you are the master in this race. That master's athlete, right? Over 40. I just remember thinking that how clever that was, and that got
it's
me.
It's clever and it's comical
spirit.
Too, right?
Yeah. So that little humorous bit, I remember thinking, you are the best coached person on this track. You're by far the most experienced. You got this. But then I realized that I'm behind the stragglers 15 meters. Now I'm behind him 10 meters. I've just sprinted and covered 5 of those 15 meters. That's not the way you do this, Sam. I remember thinking, you got to run smart. Keep your head in this. And so slowly but surely, I'm catching these little punks. And halfway through, I'm starting to pass the stragglers. Now there's 2 laps to go, 400 meters. I'm challenging from the lead. I'm still going to do this, Sam. And then coming off the last turn with maybe 50 meters in front of me, the impossibly far away. My mind, I realize that I've got to keep, it's not my head I need in the race, it's my heart, because I didn't think I could get to the finish line. And I don't remember finishing that race. I do remember kind of coming to in waves. I got a major anesthesia, and the Dartmouth coach has got one arm, and he's keeping me on my feet. I look over, and the Brown coach has got Brown University coach has got me by the other arm, and they're packing along this has-been runner that this famous coach is working with. And I remember the Brown coach looked at me, and he just shook his head. He says, "I'm so sorry, Brad, you missed it again." And I got to tell you, that was a low spot in my story. It was 20, 30 minutes later when I could finally walk on my own again, and I found my way to the second story stairwell. It was so noisy in the arena. I found a relatively quiet spot at the second story stairwell, and I called my coach, and I got to tell you, I was emotional. I'm still in physical, just extreme pain. I could barely hold the phone to my ear. And I just called my coach, and he answered, and I said, "Coach, I can't do this. It's too hard." And coach shoots back, "Remember what we're doing here." He says, "If this was easy, it would have already been done." And I'm thinking, I know he's right. I know he's right. And again, the metaphor, where have you been? What's your second story? A stairwell moment when you called your coach in the sky maybe and said, "I can't do this. It's too hard." And what was his answer to you? "This is supposed to be hard. It's okay. God, this is not a plan B. You know, Adam fell that men might be. This isn't God's plan B. This is part of the plan. He set this up so that we would grow and that we would experience and that we knew what suffering was, because he knew that by working hard and suffering, like Chris said, doing hard things, that's the way that we become who God meant us to become.
And it's these experiences, ladies and gentlemen, that are required for the making of the miracle. Let me say that one more time. It is these experiences that are required for the making of the miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Barton with me. Are you looking for someone to help you ignite world-class performance? BradSpeaks.com is where you can learn more. Book him as a public speaker, etc. We've got a whole lot more to talk about right here on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
BradSpeaks.com, ladies and gentlemen, Brad Barton with me. So he failed again. I don't think he really failed again, though. I believe that's part of the making of the miracle, Brad.
It sure felt like I failed again, and for the last time. This is it. This is it. I'm 47. The joke inside the Masters world is that world records are set when there's still a little smoke in the air from the birthday candles. When you look at the world records, and a 40-year, the 40 to 45, 44 are set when they're 40, and so forth. You look at the records, they're set at the beginning of that age group, and here I am in the middle of my age group. This is it. So I'm on this call with my coach, and he's saying, "If this was easy, it would already been done." And I knew he was right. And he says, Brad, get back on a plane, get back to Ogden. We'll get Doc Sharman to see if he can fix your separated shoulder. I'm going to adjust the workout. And then he says, Brad, I know the Columbia coach. I know him personally. I promise you, I will somehow get you in that last chance meet. There's one last meet that only for college kids to have that last chance to qualify for the NCAA championships. He says, I'm going to get you in that meet somehow. He says, let's get it done 2 weeks from tonight at the Armory in Uptown Manhattan. Sam, two weeks and about 4.5 hours after that phone call where it just looked so bleak, I stepped onto another Ivy League track, one of the most famous tracks in the world. The
Stay
Armory.
On your mic, Brad.
And
there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Yeah, and long story short, ran 4:16.83 and broke set our first world record. And I will confess, I raced across the infield. I did not call my wife. I first called my coach, and I just screamed. I said, Coach, we did it. And that was an amazing experience. One of my new favorite songs, it talks about how life is not the mountaintops. It's the walking in between. And that's what we do. We're walking in between with all the brush and the sage and the hardships and the stream crossings. But boy, oh girl, it sure is fun to stand at that mountaintop once in a while and just enjoy the view, isn't it?
And ladies and gentlemen, that was the mountaintop that I feel like I stood on at the 25th year celebration of Liberty Roundtable Live, not because I accomplished something. 25 years is a long time to do anything. But 25 years of getting up at 6 a.m. and being on your radio and telling the tale of liberty, spending time carrying forward the traditions, the beliefs, the understanding, the liberty the founding fathers gave their all for. And now I get to continue their legacy on the radio globally via the internet, nationally via AM and FM radio affiliates and on the internet and a whole lot more. I think, you know what? The Lord's made more of my career than I have or than I could have. I could have gone to some of these big markets, Tampa, Florida, or L.A., got myself an agent. I could, probably be a fairly decent-sized Republican talk show host. But I wouldn't be telling the tale of liberty. I wouldn't be doing, in my opinion, what my calling requires. It's a different realm. I'm not a popular person, nor do I want to be. I'm with my 8 children and my grandchildren and my wife, and I can walk down the street and nobody knows my name. Just the way I like it. But I've been able to go on some of the biggest stages in the world and tell the tale of liberty and spread the word, and I can influence policy in America and change the game and really change the narrative with what I'm doing. And that's how God makes more of my career than I could have. And the same thing's true for Brad. It's not about winning that race, although that's an incredible feat, and it's great to be on the top of that mountain. But it's the beyond that that's the real payday, Brad.
Yeah. Can I just echo what you're saying? One thing that I admire about you, Sam Bushman, you're not spewing vitriol, and I think if you'd had, maybe it's not selling out, but I think it probably is, where you have to go be controversial, you have to go say, you have to call names, you have to. I love how civil you are, and I think civility is something that is missing in our American politic, whether it be on the radio or whether it just be flipping dogs on the Barbie with a friend. There is way too much vitriol in our conversation, and I appreciate that you keep things positive. You're talking about what you're for rather than just talking about what you're against. I just love you. I love what you're doing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I think our message engenders. Okay, he's thanking me for this, and I appreciate it, but it's really about what can happen if all of us are willing to be kind to one another, if all of us are willing to have respect. You may not agree with what I say, but you should certainly agree with my right to say it. the vice versa is true. I may not agree with your viewpoints, but I can be decent to you as a son or daughter of God Almighty, or in modern times, a child of God. You may not even agree with God. You may not believe God exists. Fine. I can still have respect for you just in the humanities idea. You know what? I have love for those because of humanity. And we can treat one another with respect and kindness and appreciation, even if we don't agree on anything. We can agree that we're grateful for the breath of life together. We can agree that we're grateful for kindness and respect and appreciation to one another, regardless of these things. And I think that's one of the great takeaways. Now, Brad, you've been speaking for over two decades as a motivational speaker, stirring, instructive, transformative leadership presentations to companies around the world and beyond. And the idea is, let's do something that's never been done. I want to know some of the takeaways that you've learned along the way. I know we've talked about them in relation to your races and overcoming the odds and the broken bones and all the different things. But this speaking tour, I believe, is the reason you were meant to break those records. This speaking tour of motivation, turning people to God, family, and country, turning people to their better selves, to their kinder selves, to their more gentle selves, to their, well, heritage of God selves, if you will, that I believe is the real reason you were meant to win those races.
Yeah. And I see that now looking back, and now I can see, you know, even the failures. I'm in the midst of those thinking, you know, why? Why did you put me on this track? Why did I have to go through these you know, marital challenges and struggles and just the, you know, the challenges with teenagers on and on? Why? I write in one of my books, Beyond Illusions, I dared to make this comment, Sam. So there is no such, there is nothing that is bad. It's like, what? There's nothing that is bad? Here's the answer. Because bad is not a thing. Bad is not an event, and it's not a condition. It is a judgment. And to say that something is bad implies that it shouldn't have happened. That denies the wisdom of a loving God, and it denies the power of the human spirit. Instead of saying that's bad, maybe that t-shirt in the 80s and 90s, it's all good. Remember that slogan, right? It's all good. Maybe it is. Maybe like the Apostle Paul said, all things shall work for the good of those who love me. Maybe it's all good. Maybe instead of calling something bad, we call it what it really is. Let's call it inconvenient. Let's call it...
Or it's called immoral, maybe.
Let's call it painful. Let's call it downright excruciating, you know, terrifying, heartbreaking. Those, yes. But how do you know that it's bad? I remember having lunch with someone that I deeply respect. His name is Vance Anderson. Now, Vance is no ordinary man. This guy has been, he placed third in the Boston Marathon. He was ranked fourth in the U.S. In the archery competition. He's raised two beautiful daughters and been married for over, you know, almost 50 years now. And he's done all of the, he's a successful entrepreneur. He's an amateur magician and an accomplished musician. And he's done it all from the vantage point of a wheelchair. Now, all of us are blind, right, Sam? All of us. Some people are more blind than you are. Some people are more paralyzed than my little brother, William, who's a quadriplegic. He told me, Vance Anderson, he said, Brad, I shudder to think, this is amazing, listen to this, I shudder to think what my life would be like if I hadn't broken my back in that weight room when I was 15 years old. God knew the end from the beginning. Now, at least Vance has lived long enough to know that it's not bad. It's all good, isn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's about the journey and about acknowledging God's hand in your life. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Brad Barton's on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Congress on Thursday avoided a government shutdown by voting to continue funding the government through December 3rd.
On this vote, the yeas are 65, the nays are 35. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
The House approved the measure earlier in the day with a 254-175 vote. Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from California has delayed a vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Lawmakers sent things south when Pelosi tied the bill to the extremely expensive $3.5 trillion partisan spending package. We now know why boxing star Manny Pacquiao retired from boxing. He's advancing into a ruthless industry, politics. Manny has filed his certificate of candidacy for the Philippine presidency Friday. As registration opened for candidates seeking to lead, the elections are on May 9th, 2022. USA Radio News.
On January 29th of last year, I was a stroke victim, but some patients can't even get the proper medication because of stringent insurance practices. Doctor, doesn't seem like America, does it?
No, it does not. And first of all, I'm very sorry that you had that experience. It is not like America. This is not the way it should be. PCSK9 inhibitors, which were released and approved by the FDA in 2015, the summer of 2015, have experienced unprecedented barriers for access by the payers of the insurance companies. They're human monoclonal antibodies made by an immortal cell line. They're not little drugs that are just punched out on an assembly line.
Wow.
But what I can tell you is this, that the PCSK9 inhibitors clearly lower LDL cholesterol effectively. I mean, that has been well documented.
If you think you have a heart problem, what's the best thing to do?
Oh, my God. If you think you have a heart problem, talk to your doctor.
The movie Black Widow had one actress sue Disney because her salary was based on box office sales. So when Disney also released the movie at the same time on its streaming platform, sparks began to fly. Wendy King explains.
3 months after Scarlett Johansson sued Disney over its streaming release of Black Widow, arguing she stood to lose millions of dollars because her salary was based on the box office performance of the film, the suit has now been settled. While the terms of the settlement are not public, sources say the deal was in tens of millions of dollars. Johansson told The Hollywood Reporter that she was happy to have resolved the differences with Disney. Disney said Johansson will be in at least one upcoming Disney movie. Disney Studios chairman Alan Bergman wrote, "We appreciate her contributions to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and look forward to working together on a number of upcoming projects, including Disney's Tower of Terror." For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Thank you, Wendy. We are USA Radio News.
A little quick side note, but vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 7 p.m., Alex Newman flies in from the East Coast to speak at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah. LovingLiberty.net to get your tickets and to RSVP today. Tonight, 7 p.m., Alex Newman, incredible public speaker, talking about your children, talking about how to save your children, and more. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, will you please? All right, we're talking to Brad Barton, ladies and gentlemen. He's broken one record. He fell in Cornell. I mean, it was a brutal fall. And he thought he had failed completely, but no. He went to the armory and broke the first record. He got on the phone and said, "Coach, we did it." And "we" means the author of his calling, Brad, and the coach. Kind of a triad team of success, Brad.
Yeah, and let me just do a correction. You said that Brad broke, and I hope I never say that when I'm on a stage or talking to anybody. I didn't break any world record, Sam. We did this. This is Coach and I. And there's a whole part of the team. There's a massage therapist and a nutritionist and a doc and you know, of course, my wife. And this is a team effort, isn't it? So I didn't do this. It's we. Let's remember that.
Amen to that, sir. I agree. So the record was broken. And you know what? Let's do something that's never been done before. And that story's not over, is it, sir?
Right. So, as any good coach would do, we go from one success to the next, right? So first thing we did, it was won a couple of U.S. championships indoors a couple weeks later, and then set our sights on some more world records. We went to Willamette University in Salem, Oregon, and broke a over 40-year-old American record in the steeplechase, the M45 steeplechase, and took down Hal Higdon, which he's a running legend and runner's world longtime contributor. Love Hal Higdon. It was an honor to break his record. Went to Portland to break for our first world record attempt, and I made a tactical error. I went out too fast, and that cost me. And I ran not even as fast as I did in Salem. I had one last shot. I'd so destroyed my legs in that attempt. It took 7 weeks to get my legs back underneath me so that I could have another record attempt. This is in Seattle. And I was set. I was ready. We're gonna run the world record's 916 is the world record in the steeple, the 45-49 age group. And I'm all ready to go. The gun is up, and the race officials ran over, and they said, wait, stop the race. And then he walked up to me. He says, Brad, we can't seat the water barrier. These are intermediate hurdle height barriers, right? In a steeplechase, it's not a hurdle that falls over when you hit it. These are 4x4 pieces of wood, right? And a steeplechaser hits a barrier that the steeplechaser falls down. There's usually blood in a 3,000-meter steeplechase. And there's four of these barriers every lap, and there's a fifth barrier. It's a water barrier. On the other side of this 36-inch intermediate hurdle height barrier, there's 3 feet of water that tapers to ground level 12 feet later. And he said, can't seat it. It's at 37.5 inches instead of 36. I says, well, there's probably some crap in the hole. You got to pull that back out and clean. And he says, we tried that, but we'd already beat the thing down with a shovel. And now it's stuck. And I said, well, get a handyman jack. This has got to be right. This is important. We got a whole track meet behind you. We don't have that equipment. He said, we've got to go. And so my question is, what do you do, Sam? What do you do as a listener? When you've prepared for months, years now, to do something important, and somebody else's mess up has just made it harder for you.
In my mind, here's what you do at this time. You say to yourself, am I meant to do this? Is this part of my calling? Am I on a pride trip now, or is this really meant to be? And when you gut check yourself and you find out it is meant to be, it's not a pride thing. See, after the next 25 years of Liberty Roundtable Live, basically developed my chops now for radio. I've been on the air for more than 15,000 hours, people. Okay, now it's not about me. It's not about my pride, but it's a gut check to say, what is Liberty Roundtable Live going to do next? Okay, and so for you in this race, then, the question is, if it's not a pride thing, you got to check yourself on this. Okay, it's not about being... priestcraft or setting yourself up to get gain and fame and all that. Right. So you check yourself on that. And then you say, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. Brad?
Yep. I love the amen. Beautifully spoken. And so how do you answer this question? You just heard Sam's answer, listener. How do you answer this when somebody else makes a mistake? Your spouse has done something, or what do you do? For me, the answer was to get on that starting line and say, this is just going to be a more amazing story, and let's go get it done anyway. So the gun goes off, and I fought and I worked and I tried as hard as I could. I ran as hard as I could that day, and in the end, the record. The record is 416.10. I ran 417.60. I missed it by a second and a half. Hard as I could run that day. Nothing left. I have no regrets about how hard I was willing to suffer that day. I couldn't have run any faster. After recovering from that, One of my other sponsors sent us to Italy to the World Masters Games. It's kind of the Olympics for the over 40 every 4 years in Turin, Italy, or Torino, I guess. And I won the steeple world championship and the 1500 meter world championship. Came back, took my coach to dinner. I said, "Coach, I'm still supposed to break that steeple record. I know I'm supposed to do it, but I can't run any harder than I did this last year. He says, "We're going to double your mileage." I'm like, "Coach, you have no, here I am counseling my coach, right? You have no idea what you're saying. I have a medial meniscus bucket handle tear in my left knee. There's hardly any cartilage left in my knee, coach. There's no way I can handle 60 miles a week." Coach just quietly replied, "Then you won't get the world record, will you? But if you don't try, then you won't get the world record, will you?" I'm thinking, I hate this man.
Yeah, it's true. If you never ask to drill out on a date, you'll never go on a date there, Brad.
That's right. So I trusted my coach, and we didn't know if it was going to work. We didn't know if my knee would hold with that kind of abusive mileage, but it did. It did. There were even some weeks that I went to 65-mile weeks, and I came back the next year so strong. We took 9.5 seconds off the indoor 3,000-meter world record. Imagine that, breaking a world record by 9.5 seconds.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me stop you there for a second. Do you realize the devastation of losing by a second and a half? And then going to your coach and finding a different way to approach the problem, saying, "I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to commit to this thing." And then coming back and beating it by 9 seconds. That stuff is unheard of, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so that's the 3,000-meter flat indoor race. We still haven't broken the steeple record. This was just a kind of – I didn't – this wasn't the one that I knew I was called to break, right? And again, listener, please remember, if you're just joining us, this isn't just a track story, right? Look at how this story applies to your parenting and to your professional and to your marriage and to your spiritual journey. This is Brad Barton's details, but it is our story, isn't it?
So this 9-second smash of that other record wasn't the steeple record to beat, but it was, again, a tender mercy, and you're supposed to do this reminder along the way, Brad.
Yep. That was in early March. Within weeks, I am about to step on, as the first weekend of April, I'm about to step on a plane to go to Florida to go break the steeplechase world record, and I ripped my something in my groin, and just devastated. I remember I'm warming up for this interval workout. I was warming up when it happened, and I was so disgusted, so discouraged. I was mad.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a story of tragedy and triumph in many ways, but the triumph is the key. Brad, well, worked so hard, and together, Brad, his coach, his wife, everyone around him, they gained the prize with sheer tenacity and trust in God Almighty. Brad Barton on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 7 p.m., Alex Newman at Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. Be there if you can. LovingLiberty.net is where you can get tickets and RSVP, and I think they're going to broadcast it live on the internet as well if you're not in the local area. 7 o'clock tonight, Alex Newman, incredible speaker, talking about your children, how to save them, and how to save America for your children as well. LovingLiberty.net. Brad Barton with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about his incredible racing career, full of tragedy and triumph, if you will, but together they found success. So you didn't get on that plane because you got hurt again, devastated. What happens next, Brad?
I remember, this is just a crazy aside. I'm driving home disgusted, angry, and I stopped at McDonald's and got some French fries and ate the whole thing, a large order. I don't eat, you don't eat French fries when you're trying to, you know, break world records. You're very careful with my diet, and that was my go-to. Go stuff my face with French fries.
And even though that sounds crazy, you know what? That is part of the journey as well, though, to understand that sometimes you can't have a pity party forever. But it is appropriate to express and live through those emotions and get it behind you, right?
So it took some weeks to get clear from that injury, and it looked really doubtful. I mean, again, dancing with doubt. Can I get fit again quick enough? The whole indoor season outdoor season is shot. We found a one last race. It's the Music City Distance Carnival on Vanderbilt campus, in Nashville, and they had a steeplechase. And I called the race director and asked him if I could come out and be part of this this collegiate race. And he said, please do. And I'm out there, and I'm warmed up, and I'm excited, and things are going well. It is a lot of pressure because there's one shot. We thought we'd have three shots at this, and I got one. And we're on the starting line. The gun is about to be raised, and the race director, Dave Milne, he runs up and he says, wait. He walks up and he says, what's the world record you're trying to break today? And I said, it's 916.10, 916. He said, 916, 916, okay. So then he let the race go. The gun starts off, starts us. I'm dead last, but on pace. I'm second lap, dead last, on pace. I'm doing a clinic on how to run racing. We planned our race, and now I'm racing our plan. I'm still last at the mile mark. There's a classic image on the front page of the Deseret News. This is the Salt Lake, one of the Salt Lake major papers. One of my favorite sports writers, Doug Robinson, did an article on us, and just before it ran, he said, he called me and he said, and I love Doug, right? Very fine sports writer. He says, Brad, I need an image. And I says, well, I've got some, but the one you want, I don't own. He says, don't bother. He says, we don't buy images. And we either take them ourselves or we use free ones just from the people we're writing about. And I says, well, okay, I'll send you what I got, but the one you want is owned by a guy named Foon Foo. So I sent it off to him, and he calls back 5 minutes later. How do I get a hold of Fun Fu? And the image on the front page of the sports section of the Deseret News is just classic. Here's this kid looking at me just off the water jump. He's like, what the heck? In the last 3.5 laps, I just stayed on pace and destroyed these kids. I remember it was fun watching the video because Dave Milne, the race director, he's in the infield with a cordless mic, and he's jumping up and down just screaming. He says, this guy's old enough to be their father. Coach and I ran a steeplechase race. So you can't make this stuff up, Sam. We ran a steeplechase so fast that year, in that race, it would have won the Big Sky Conference that year. It would have won the WAC Conference and the Mountain West Conference as well. It was so fast, it was formally submitted to the World Governing Body for ratification as a world record. It was rejected. It was formally rejected. There was an inquiry made. The email, I'm going to paraphrase, Dear Mr. Barton, please forgive us, it says. When we program, you can't make this stuff up. When we program the computer that handles the data for the World Masters records, we set the default such that it would reject any times that are unrealistic. We have done some additional research on your performance at Vanderbilt University. We have reset the defaults on the M45. 49 age group 3,000 meter steeplechase. We reset the defaults. Please formally resubmit. It will be accepted this time, and congratulations on your fine new world record. Sam, we broke their dang computer.
What was the final number for your run, or for your chase, if you will?
9:06.
Ladies and gentlemen, he breaks that by, is it 10 seconds or almost 10 seconds?
10 seconds, yeah. Broke it by 10 seconds. We forced the world governing body to change out the story, right, that the computer was following, the program was following, because my high school coach, George Artemis, had begun to change my stories, right? My college coach that he handed me off to continued to change my stories. The human brain is the fastest working, coolest running, most compact and efficient computer mechanism ever produced in large quantities by unskilled labor, right? We've got this marvelous hardware up here. And the software.
Yeah, we parents aren't very skilled when we start out. I'll tell you that right now.
That's right.
But ladies and gentlemen, the point that Brad wants to get at is this is changing his stories. One hardship, one tragedy and triumph at a time. But we believe your stories are the same. Brad might be very good at running, but the stories are greater than Brad. The miracles in everyone's lives are the key here. The grit that it takes to get there can be everyone's story if you are willing. Isn't that the real story, Brad?
Sam, we don't have to do this alone. In fact, I would submit that we can't do this alone. There is no way. Again, the metaphor, Coach, the third year that we worked together, he left for a Panama, 3 weeks. He went on a cruise to Panama. And I was supposed to call him this Sunday night before, but I'd had some tragedy in my family that night. I just forgot. I woke up the next morning. I thought, oh no. I was forced to do my own workouts for those three critical weeks. And when Coach finally did get back, I did my best. I thought I was doing right. But it took him 6 weeks to get my legs back under me because I'd blown it so badly. If your life isn't going well and you're wondering, maybe it's been a while. Maybe you forgot to call your coach, right? You're trying to do this alone. And that's not going to go very well. It certainly didn't go very well with my master's journey, and it doesn't go well with Brad's life journey. I got to remember to call home. I got to call my coach, and avoid the distraction, to get on my knees and call home.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is kind of where, you know what, even the best of us can kind of forget. Even the best of us can go kind of off the rails. Going off the rails is our normal human tendency. Returning takes effort. Returning takes remembering. Returning takes commitment and getting back in touch with, and this is kind of the key that Chris Carlson brought up last hour, getting back in touch with the source of the calling, right? If you're called to a certain thing, then you better pay attention to the person making that calling. In this case, God Almighty. But you better return to that. That's what you did. We're running out of time faster than I want to, Brad, because the story is so riveting. We've had a lot of great takeaways from this. To realize that it's a calling, to know that if you've been called to something that you know what, accomplishing it is a given. If it's really your calling, then you're supposed to do it. Now the question is how, and how much difficulty, how much tragedy will it take to get there for real triumph to take place? And then you got to really get in touch with what the real calling is. Was it to break track records? I think that was part of it, no doubt. They were incredible feats along that journey, but your journey's beyond that. And getting in touch with what the real calling is the, I would say it's the harder gig, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And how do we don't know. We don't know where our journey is going to take us. We don't know the lives that God is going to touch through us along the way. But some sacred scripture that I espouse, there's a spot where it says, open your mouth and it will be filled. Open your mouth and you'll receive the words. Open your mouth. Three times it says in this scripture, it says, open your mouth and then just basically trust that God is going to do with the words you speak in a manner that's going to glorify Him, right? And is going to lift other people. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about what we're doing. Okay, just let's remember, this is not about me. It's not about me. Whatever it is that you're doing, and remember why we're doing. Whether it be the way we order our lives, or simply conduct our daily bread winning. An understanding of where we are going, and maybe more important, why we are going there, why we are doing, is a key to increased effectiveness, and enhanced quality of life. We can be better people if we're living on purpose rather than just living.
Living on purpose, living with a purpose, the purpose being greater than ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, an incredible interview with Brad Barton. Bradspeaks.com is his website. Not only is he a runner, not only is he a public speaker, but he's an author. He's a family man. His wife certainly deserves credit here, and I'll never leave that part out. My wife deserves credit in all that I do. And I'm sure your wife has been involved in every step of the journey, blood, sweat, and tears too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested in the details of this, of our story here, you might just Google Brad Barton runner and watch some videos. There's some that have gone viral and have, you know, hundreds of thousands of views. And there's articles written by in the runner's world. Outdoor Magazine recently did an article on Coach and I. And there's in fact there's one article written by that appeared in the San Diego Times. I love, check it out. It says Brad Barton's Book of Job, from ceaseless injuries to world record at 53. It's a fun title, right? Because God has done some really cool things through all of us when we remember what we're doing here.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the story. You can have stories and miracles in your life as well. Find out your calling. Pray hard. Get in touch with the coach. And then get up and go to work. And when you do, you can expect miracles in your life as well. Then write them down. Express gratitude for them. And I would say, and repeat. Brad Barton, everyone. Bradspeaks.com to learn more. For Brad, Chris, and I am Sam Bushman, I say to you this: this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.